Hello, it's Tuesday, November 20, 2007, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. A few days ago, the FBI and Secret Service confiscated the coins and other assets of the group known as the Liberty Dollar. This group was producing an alternative form of money, but the FBI claims that they were con artists making money from gullible people. I met the founder of the Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Notthaus, in November 2002, when both of us were speaking at a conference held by the Freedom Law School. I've since decided that the Freedom Law School is another Zionist group. I'll put a link to my article that mentions their Zionist connections on the page that has this audio file so that you can find it easily. Anyway, what I wanted to mention was that Bernard von Notthaus showed absolutely no interest in 9/11 or any other corruption in 2002. At the time, I wasn't sure if it was because he was too busy developing his alternative money system or if he was just another con artist. However, during the past few years, I've decided that the people von Notthaus associates with are Zionist liars, such as G. Edward Griffin, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and Lou Rockwell. And look at the Liberty Dollar website. They promote such liars as the John Birch Society, Alex Jones, WorldNet Daily, and Stanley Monteith. The Liberty Dollar does not appear to be an honest organization, but the FBI can't be trusted either. As I've pointed out many times, the purpose of the FBI is not to stop crime. Its purpose has always been, and still is, to protect Zionism and help them get control of America. Judge the FBI by their performance, not by what they say about themselves. Don't be fooled by the American flag at their website or their boasting about honesty or courage. Look at what they've actually accomplished during their almost 100 years of existence. They occasionally arrest a few criminals, but they have been and still are protecting all of the big crime networks, and they protect the Oklahoma City bombing, the 9/11 attack, and virtually every other large crime. Their budget for 2007 was about $6 billion. Christopher Bolin and I have done more to expose 9/11 than all of the FBI employees put together, and we don't have any budget. Don't make excuses for the FBI. The only way such a large organization with so much money can be so ineffective is if they're part of the Zionist criminal network. So, if the FBI agents are just Zionist criminals, why would they want to put the Liberty Dollar out of business if the Liberty Dollar is also a group of Zionist criminals? There are lots of possibilities. One is that the banking families are concerned about the competition, so they ordered the FBI to get rid of it. If you've watched the Money Masters video, then you know that our banking and monetary system has been taken over by a very small group of families, such as the Rothschilds. The Liberty Dollar is supposed to be a solution to this problem, but the real solution is to put the government in control of the money and bring better government leaders into office. That is the only way to prevent people from manipulating the monetary system and profiting from it. The FBI should shut down the Liberty Dollar and every other private organization that creates money, but unless they also shut down the Federal Reserve and put the government in control of the money supply, they're not helping us. They're only helping a few banking families. So how do we shut down the Federal Reserve? Well, we're in luck because we have a presidential candidate who's proposing to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And he's also proposing to eliminate the income tax. But should we trust Ron Paul? Let's consider that for a moment. What is Ron Paul going to replace the Federal Reserve with? Look at his website. I don't see any specific plan. He merely makes meaningless remarks about using gold as a base for our money supply. This proposal comes from such people as G. Edward Griffin, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and Lou Rockwell. The Liberty Dollar organization promotes these same people. Furthermore, the Liberty Dollar promotes Ron Paul for president. And they were creating coins with his image in order to promote his campaign. All of these people want to replace the Federal Reserve System with a monetary system that is based on gold. But take a look at who controls the gold, such as the company Barrick Gold and its founder, Peter Munk. We're not going to help ourselves by replacing the Federal Reserve System with a different group of Zionists who control and manipulate gold. We've got to get rid of the entire Zionist crime network. We also have to get rid of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, the Tavistock Institute, and all of these other Zionist organizations that manipulate government officials, universities, and businesses. Ron Paul and his friends don't have any intelligent proposals to improve our monetary or banking system. Rather, they are con artists who are trying to trick us into letting them get control of our money supply. Everything Ron Paul proposes is a trick. For example, consider his promise to repeal the income tax. This sounds like a wonderful idea. So let's assume for a moment that Ron Paul gets elected, and let's assume that he somehow manages to convince the other government officials to join him in getting rid of the income tax. Without an income tax, none of the IRS employees would have a job. What would Ron Paul do with all of those employees? Would he give them a different job in the government, or would he tell them to find another job? Then consider that a lot of other government agencies and programs depend on income tax. If the income tax were to be repealed, a lot of government agencies, including the military, would find themselves in a very serious financial situation. Ron Paul would either have to increase other taxes, create new taxes, or get rid of an enormous number of government employees. What is Ron Paul proposing to do? I don't see any specific intelligent proposal from Ron Paul. I only see vague promises that he has no intention of keeping. Political candidates frequently propose reducing taxes, but no political candidate would ever carry through his promise because it would require getting rid of a lot of government employees. Most government employees would refuse to vote for a candidate who truly intends to reduce taxes. Expecting government employees to vote for a candidate who will reduce the size of government is as silly as expecting college professors to get rid of tenure. This brings up one of the problems with our current government system. Specifically, government employees should not be allowed to vote. Employees should not be allowed to select their boss, regardless of whether they work for the government or private business. Allowing government employees to vote for their leadership is as stupid as letting the employees at IBM vote for their leadership. No business is that stupid, so why do we allow it with government? If government employees were a small fraction of the voting population, this issue would be insignificant. However, governments today are gigantic, and this means that the government employees have a significant effect on the elections. Furthermore, all governments are growing every year, so this problem becomes worse every year. Ron Paul doesn't really want to reduce government. If he did, he would have made some attempt to reduce government in Texas. What has Ron Paul actually accomplished in all his decades of life? Can you list his accomplishments? Ron Paul couldn't possibly get rid of income taxes or reduce the size of government, even if he wanted to. There are millions of people who would resist such an attempt. Most candidates promise to reduce taxes by a little bit or keep them steady, but Ron Paul goes to an extreme and proposes getting rid of income tax completely. People are fools to believe a candidate will reduce taxes, and they are even bigger fools to believe that a candidate will completely eliminate income taxes. Ron Paul doesn't have a proposal for a better government. He only has vague promises. He should not be considered a candidate. He should be classified as a con artist. The people who support Ron Paul consider themselves more educated and informed than the people who support Hillary Clinton or Rudy Giuliani, but they're actually bigger suckers than the other voters. I would bet that the other candidates are going to ridicule Ron Paul's promises as unrealistic, and they'll criticize his supporters as mindless nitwits who can't distinguish between a con artist and a presidential candidate. It takes only a few minutes to figure out that Ron Paul associates with and promotes Zionist liars. At the Ludwig von Mises Institute, for example, is a 24-page document written by Ron Paul in which he praises their Austrian economics. Ron Paul has the title Distinguished Counselor to the Ludwig von Mises Institute. The Mises Institute is just another organization of Zionist Jews. Morgan Reynolds is part of the Mises Institute. In case you don't know who Morgan Reynolds is, he's a member of the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and he spends his time creating fights between the so-called truth seekers. The founder and president of the Mises Institute is Lou Rockwell, who, along with Eric Garris, created LouRockwell.com. Eric Garris is another Jew in this so-called truth movement, and his mother was a member of the Communist Party. Garris also helped to create the website antiwar.com with Justin Raimondo. A lot of people are fooled into believing that antiwar.com is a group of loving people who want peace, but it's just another group of Zionist Jews who are trying to take advantage of the gullible goyim. I wrote about some of these people in the summer of 2006. I'll put a link to that document in the document that has this audio file. Most of the people who vote are simpletons who look only at the promises that the candidates make. They don't look at the candidate's previous performance or who the candidate associates with. The people who support Ron Paul are like children who are excited to think that Santa Claus will soon bring them some gigantic presents. But it should be obvious that Ron Paul works with Zionist criminals. However, he seems to work for a small faction within the Zionist network. This concept that there are factions within this network is still confusing some people, so let me explain a bit more about it. Whenever you have an organization of people, there's competition for leadership positions, especially among men. For example, there's competition among orchestra members to be the best musician, and there's competition among members of a sports team to be the primary players rather than the alternative players, and there's competition between employees within a business for promotions. When a group of people are honest and respectable, the competition is friendly, and it helps inspire everybody to do a better job. Everybody benefits as a result of the competition. However, the competition becomes confusing, violent, and psychotic when the people have mental disorders. One of the more bizarre examples is when Wanda Holloway tried to hire a man to kill the mother of her daughter's rival cheerleader. If a woman is willing to kill another woman so that her daughter can become a cheerleader, don't you think that criminals will fight with each other for control of the world? What is so difficult about believing that criminals within the Zionist network are fighting with each other for control? Even if Ron Paul didn't have any connection to Zionist criminals, there would still be no reason to vote for him because he's been in government for decades and he hasn't accomplished anything yet. Would you go to a dentist who had 40 years of experience but never once did anything correctly? What has Ron Paul ever said or done that is more intelligent than what the other government officials say? Ron Paul is simply taking advantage of people's disgust of government. Some people say they support Ron Paul in order to send a message. But if you want to send a message, then promote me and Christopher Bolin as presidential candidates. That will have a much more significant effect on the world than supporting a worthless government official who's never said anything that's worth listening to. Many of Ron Paul's supporters realize that the September 11th attack was a false flag operation by Zionists, so why are they supporting a man who claims that Arab terrorists attacked us? Supposedly, Ron Paul is afraid to be honest about 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, and all sorts of other Zionist crimes. Supposedly, once he becomes president, he'll have a personal meeting with the Wizard of Oz, and the Wizard will provide him with courage. Ron Paul associates with people who protect Zionism, so we should assume that if he becomes president, he will continue to associate with people who protect Zionism. The supporters of Ron Paul are more foolish than the supporters of George Bush and Hillary Clinton. The Ron Paul supporters should face the possibility that Ron Paul has been a Zionist agent his entire life and that he will continue to be a Zionist agent even if he becomes president. Ron Paul sounds sincere and honest, but so do other political candidates. Some people have an incredible ability to lie. Listen to Daryl Smith, Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, Mike Piper, or any other radio host or television newscaster. For example, Smith sounds sincere in his audio message for November 17, 2007, when he apologizes for his arrogant remark that he's responsible for exposing Zionism. That is how he sounded to me up until that phone call of September 8th. Or listen to Jeff Rentz as he talks about aliens visiting us from other planets. He doesn't sound like a liar. He sounds very honest and sincere. The television news commentators seem honest also. These people are so good at lying that they could probably pass lie detector tests. We assume that we can figure out when a person is lying by his facial expressions and voice, but that doesn't work with people who excel at lying. As a result, these expert liars can become very successful in certain types of jobs, such as sales, politics, acting, and the media. When we try to explain these issues to other people, it's easy for us to lose hope. It's especially discouraging to discover that the supporters of Ron Paul are as mindless as those who support George Bush. Most people are going to vote for a Zionist puppet regardless of what we say. Most people are behaving like retarded girls, and different factions within the Zionist network are fighting for control of these dumb girls. However, there is hope for the human race. Some of you may not see it, but I can see significant changes since 2001. And the changes suggest that the Zionist crime network is in very big trouble. Perhaps the most significant change is that the Zionists are now on the defensive. Nobody defends himself unless he's under attack. For example, on September 17, 2007, Daniel Abramson, who is another of the many Jews who are posing as truth seekers, interviewed Craig Hill and Greg Nixon. I'll provide a couple of excerpts of their interview in the document that has this audio file so that you can listen to the three of them struggle as they try to convince us that Goyim are responsible for 9/11 and that we should stop blaming Israel. Greg Hill is a Green Party candidate, so why is he working with Zionist agents? Because every political candidate, no matter which party they belong to, is either a Zionist or one of their useful idiots. The honest candidates are driven out of office or killed. Don't expect Ron Paul to be any more honest than Craig Hill. You've probably noticed that I describe 9/11 as an outside job or a Zionist job. Well, Greg Nixon has a different expression. Listen to Abramson introduce Nixon.
Greg Nixon is an expert on this. You know, whereas a lot of people want to hold up 9/11 was an inside job, Greg Nixon says on his website, 9/11 was a black op U.S. military attack, because Greg Nixon understands the nuance of it, and I love his research. And
these truth seekers are trying to put all the blame for 9/11 onto the U.S. military and some defense contractors. Since they don't have any supporting evidence for this theory, they have to use tricks. Listen to this and see if you can figure it out.
For instance, if you go to 9/11truth.org or 9/11 blogger, how often do you see SAIC, Lockheed Martin, or any of this stuff that we're talking about? Have you ever seen it there?
You will never see it there.
Why is that? Isn't that very curious?
Yep.
This trick is so obvious. It's equivalent to somebody saying, how often do you hear Eric Hupschmidt talk about the role the Girl Scouts played in 9/11 and how they funded the attack with the sale of cookies? You never hear him talk about the Girl Scouts. Isn't that very curious? We should be able to easily defeat a group of criminals that depend on such stupid, obvious tricks. And I think we are beating them. They were not on the defensive in 2002. Back in those days, they were laughing at us, and they were willing to let me and Christopher Bolin speak at their meetings and go on their radio shows. Furthermore, they weren't trying to expose 9/11 in 2002. But by 2004, they started to realize they can't stop the information about 9/11 from coming out, So they started trying to promote their own agents as truth seekers in order to shift the blame for 9/11 away from Israel. Today they realize they can't shift all of the blame away from Israel, so some Israelis and some other Jews must be sacrificed. As a result, their agents, such as Daryl Smith, are now trying to convince us that only a few Jews were involved. Speaking of Smith, those of you who have been following the situation between me and Smith might wonder, why doesn't his boss tell him that since his reputation has been so badly tarnished, he should work behind the scenes, as did Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani when their reputation was ruined? I mentioned in one of my other audio files that Thorne and Giuliani are trying to return as truth seekers, and I said this is equivalent to a military leader telling his wounded soldiers to get back onto the battlefield. The same situation is happening with Daryl Smith. Instead of telling Smith to work behind the scenes, he's getting more publicity now than he did when he was working with me. For example, a few months ago, the Zionist site called TakeOurWorldBack.com had posted one of Smith's arrest records. But a few days ago, they deleted it and replaced it with a brief explanation of how Smith is actually an innocent man and that his arrest record is meaningless. For a Zionist site to switch from attacking Smith to promoting him is a sign of desperation. The Zionists must be running out of suckers to do their dirty work. Mike Piper and Charles Giuliani of the RBN radio network are also promoting Smith now. However, Piper continues to insult me and Christopher Bolin. And some of Piper's latest insults from his show on November 12, 2007, are an interesting lesson in their deception tricks. The reason I discuss their tricks once in a while is because people who listen to me are among the few who are trying to do something to educate people. So if you understand the tricks, you can help other people understand them. One of the subjects Piper brought up in that broadcast is that the Spotlight newspaper was driven out of business, and that some of the employees got together to create the American Free Press newspaper. Christopher Bolin says that the Spotlight was growing larger at the time it was driven out of business. Bolin believes that Mark Lane and the other Zionists deliberately destroyed the newspaper because it was becoming popular. Bolin also believes that they were deliberately preventing the American Free Press from becoming popular. I also pointed out that the American Free Press was deliberately doing things to hurt themselves. These accusations won't make sense to you unless you can understand why Zionists would create these organizations in the first place. In my article about the American Free Press, I give an analogy of firemen who set small fires in order to control a larger fire. This technique works only if the small fires remain small. If one of the small fires starts growing out of control, the fireman must put it out. The Spotlight newspaper is analogous to a small fire that was deliberately set in order to control the information about Zionism and confuse the issue with propaganda and identify potential enemies of Zionism. Even though the newspaper was full of propaganda, it exposed people to the issue of Zionism. Christopher Bolin thinks it had about 300,000 readers at the time they decided to get rid of it. Mike Piper has no defense for the accusations from me and Bolin. All Piper can do is try to manipulate emotions by laughing and telling us to think about it. Here is an excerpt.
Now think about it, folks. If the Spotlight was a Zionist front, why would the Zionists run one of their own fronts out of business and then set up another one which had even less subscribers and less outreach? I mean, think about it. But you know, the funny thing is, Eric Kupfschmidt says that's what it's all about.
As I've explained many times, if anybody had evidence that Christopher Bolin or myself were lying or making mistakes, they would proudly present that evidence. When all somebody does is laugh or insult us, that's a sign that they are so defenseless that they have to resort to emotional manipulation. Another technique that Piper and other con artists use is to imply that they're honest. For example, the New York Times claims to provide all the news that's fit to print. Fox News tells us that they're fair and balanced. CNN has the slogan, "The most trusted name in news." These are subtle tricks to manipulate us. Listen to this amusing remark from Mike Piper.
Now, here's the truth, folks, for those of you who are interested in the truth.
Piper also had this amusing remark.
But for those of you who are interested in the truth and want to hear precisely what kind of lies Eric Hufschmidt and Christopher Berlin have been putting out, I'm here to tell you the facts.
Another trick Piper does a few times in that broadcast is to expose one of my accusations as a lie, but he exposes an accusation that I never made. For example, he says I lied about legal fees owed to Mark Lane. Listen to this.
So there were never any back legal fees owed to Mark Lane, number one. So there's number one Hufschmidt lie. That's a lie. There just never were any back fees. And number two, Mark Lane couldn't have taken control of Liberty Lobby anyway.
I don't know what Piper is talking about. I have documents and audio files on the Internet, so if Piper was serious, he would identify my document or audio file that has these accusations about legal fees. The Zionists use this trick with the Apollo moon landing all the time. For example, I point out that the astronauts should be able to see stars, but the Zionists respond that a camera cannot show bright objects, such as an astronaut, at the same time that it shows dim objects, such as stars. However, I never said that cameras or the human eye can see bright and dim objects at the same time. They're criticizing a slightly different argument that I never made. But most people don't notice the trick, so they assume that I've just been exposed as an idiot. Piper also used this trick when he tried to defend the American Free Press. Listen to this.
Well, before the break, I was commenting about the fact that, again, this character, Hufschmidt, the he-she of Internet radio, has been behind the rumor that American Free Press is a Zionist front, and primarily his argument has been that, well, how could a newspaper pop up overnight without the support from the Zionists?
Piper claims that I have a primary argument, and that my primary argument is that the newspaper popped up overnight. First of all, I don't have any primary argument. Rather, I have a document that provides a lot of evidence that the American Free Press is a Zionist group. Second, I looked in my document, and I don't see any accusation that the newspaper is a Zionist front because they popped up overnight. I think Piper created this accusation, and then he criticizes it. And even if I did make such a remark in a radio interview, that means Piper is taking some silly remark I made and pretending that it is my primary argument. He's not refuting any of my evidence that they're a Zionist outfit. The lesson to learn from this trick is that you should tell people to respond to the serious accusations rather than picking out the silly or questionable accusations. Don't let them control the conversation. Tell them to respond to the most serious evidence first, and after they've done that, they can deal with the frivolous issues. Piper also implied that Christopher Bolin is working with British intelligence and the Church of England. However, he doesn't explain it. Instead, he tells us to look through Christopher's resume. Listen to this.
I'm starting to think that he may have connections to British intelligence, specifically, believe it or not, the Church of England. And if you search through Christopher's resume, you might begin to see why I say that.
On the same day that Piper was criticizing me and Bolin, Smith also created an audio file in which he criticized me, Bolin, and Bolin's children. I think they continue to attack Bolin because they know he can't defend himself, and they want to create the impression that he's a psychotic, dishonest person who is associated with the Church of England or Israel. If they can succeed in convincing people to ignore Bolin, then they could kill the family and nobody would care or notice. Right now, they're still under pressure to provide evidence that Bolin is alive. This is why Bolin occasionally makes audio files and documents. But all of his files are weird. For example, in his latest audio file for November 9, 2007, he says that he can't write one article per week any longer. But why not? He doesn't have any other job, so what's he doing all day? And he included a picture of him and his wife sitting in some type of studio with a fancy microphone. Where is he, and who took the photograph? I think Boleyn has been kidnapped, and I suggest you think carefully about what would happen if the Zionists got control of this world. What do you think they would do to you? Look at how many slaughters they've already conducted in Russia, Armenia, and Europe. And the Japanese should take a serious look at how they thought the Jews were their friends at the beginning of the 20th century, and how their friendship ended up in two nuclear bombs. The Japanese are under tremendous Zionist influence today. As I mentioned before, a Japanese television crew interviewed me about 9/11 a couple years ago, but somebody in their studio edited the video to block my name, face, and other information. When are the Japanese going to realize that they have been tricked by the Zionist Jews? More importantly, when are the Japanese going to break free from the Zionist Jews? And when are the Chinese going to figure out that they're also being tricked? A war between China and Taiwan, or between China and India, is not going to help anybody except Israel. China and Taiwan will benefit the most if they start doing things to improve life for themselves. Another trick the Zionist agents use to gain support is to pretend that they're victims and beg for pity. Smith claims that people are interfering with his phones and his PayPal account. Rayellen Allen of Rumor Mill News posted a message that her site has been infiltrated by federal agents. One of the mysterious people who posts on her site even posted a message to the federal agents to make the accusation appear more realistic. Teresa Durbin, who runs the site Surfing the Apocalypse, is asking for donations, and she claims that mysterious people are trying to stop the donations. These people hope that you'll feel sorry for them. They also tell us that when you're over the target, you get flack. Some of them call themselves the tip of the spear. However, they have no serious evidence for any of these remarks. They're simply trying to create the impression that they're brave heroes and that they're suffering greatly for us cowardly people, and that we should send them money, give them pity, and buy their video. However, I don't see Alex Jones suffering. I don't see Smith suffering. I see Christopher Boleyn suffering, and I see millions of dead people all over the world from the wars, terrorist attacks, and suspicious suicides. When we talk to our mindless relatives and neighbors, our situation can seem hopeless. But the fact that the Zionists are on the defensive and crying like babies shows that there's a very good chance that there are enough of us with a functional brain that we can defeat the Zionist crime network. Take a serious look at the people in this network. They're drug addicts, perverts, alcoholics, antisocial misfits, and freaks. How could we not defeat them? A related issue that you should think about is why are Zionists running so many of the businesses that are involved with gambling, prostitution, sex slaves, pornography, alcohol, and drugs? When I brought this issue up with my father, he told me that the Jews got involved with these businesses because they were discriminated against for centuries, and the only opportunities for Jews were the businesses that nobody else wanted. I used to believe that propaganda when I was young, but there are two issues to consider. The first is that there have been lots of people who were born into a poor family or who were discriminated against because of their race, religion, or physical deformity. Many of those people found a respectable way to make a living. They didn't get involved with human trafficking or gambling or organized crime. The second issue to consider is that even if it were true that Jews got involved with these businesses because they had no other opportunities to make a living, that cannot explain why they continue to behave in this manner today. There have been a lot of poor people who stole food or committed some other crime in order to survive, but once they found a way to make an honest living, they stopped the crimes. And there are some stories of them paying back some of the people they cheated. Therefore, if Jews got involved with these businesses because they needed to make a living, then they should have abandoned those businesses once the discrimination stopped. Instead, we see them expanding those businesses. This is evidence that they chose to get into those businesses because they wanted to, not because of discrimination. It was a choice they made because of their disgusting personalities. It is more evidence that the Zionist crime network is like every other organized crime gang. Every gang, regardless of its nationality or religion, attracts what should be described as human garbage. It's amazing that these groups of freaks can cause so much chaos in the world. They cause wars, take over our media and government, bribe our policemen, and ruin our school system. How can groups of freaks do so much damage? It's because the majority of people have uncontrollable cravings for money, sex, and fame, and they're irresponsible and selfish, and the criminals take advantage of them. We actually have two big problems to deal with. One is the crime gangs, and the other is the majority of people. Our situation might seem hopeless, but the desperation and whining among the Zionists is a sign that they're losing, so don't give up. A few years ago, nobody would have thought Ron Paul had a chance of getting elected, but look at how that has changed during the past few months. Those of you who listen to me are more influential and active than the ordinary people, so you might be able to bring about a lot of changes in the upcoming months. Help people to understand that we don't have to continue acting like helpless babies who let Zionist Jews feed us candidates. Help them to realize that we can demand our own candidates, including me and Christopher Bolin. Once we get rid of these crime networks, we can openly discuss issues that Zionists are blocking, such as how to create a better monetary and banking system, and how to create a better system for selecting government officials. Well, that's my talk for today. Until the next time, bye.